Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. Now, I have two guests with me. Let me introduce them, Greg and Kathy Bufkin. Greg and Kathy lost their son, Ryan, to suicide in 2015. On their journey that began out of unspeakable trauma and brokenness, God has brought them through to a place of restoration, hope, and joy with a passion to help other grieving families on their journeys. They are co-founders of the Empty Chair Endeavor, which is designed to support and equip survivors of child loss in rediscovering life, hope, and joy after unspeakable tragedy. Additionally, their mission involves educating the public about the life-altering impact the death of a child has upon survivors, both parents and siblings, and equipping them to better support and minister to them. Greg and Kathy live in South Carolina. So welcome to both of you. This has been a while in coming, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as I read that, it just sounds so similar to GPS Hope.
Yeah,
I mean, they just parallel each other so, so well.
Yeah. Well, we're all on the same mission.
Yeah.
We are. Well, I would like to start out by giving you a chance to share Ryan with us. And how did you lose him from this earth?
Well, thank you, Laura. We love to be able to share Ryan with other people. So, in October of 2015, we lost Ryan to suicide. And I mean, it was an absolute shock to us and to everybody else who knew him, because Ryan was one of those, he was one of those guys that walked into a room and he was kind of the, he could easily become the center of attention because he loved to make people laugh and he just loved people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got that phone call to say that we were in shock is an understatement. But, you know, Ryan's suicide does not define Ryan's life.
Mm. Yes.
That was something that happened as a moment in time. Now, you were going to add something, sweetie.
No, I was just agreeing with you. It certainly does not. That's not the boy that we knew and the young man that we knew. I mean, he was a funny guy. He was very compassionate, very intuitive. So yeah, to say it was a shock is quite the understatement.
So there were no like signs? Did he have like mental health issues, anything like that? Do you know what triggered this?
Yeah, he did suffer some from depression and anxiety. He was taking some medication and seeing a counselor and a psychiatrist. So he was doing all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And he was married at the time to a very, very sweet young lady, Catherine. And in January of 2015, they had a precious little baby girl who was only 9 months old when Ryan.
Olivia.
Yes,
aww.
Olivia. Yeah.
Aww. Okay.
And she's a spitting image of her daddy.
Oh.
If Ryan had been born female, he would be Olivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that with Becca and her daughter. Yeah, Callie is just so much like her mom. People see a picture of her and everybody's like, oh my goodness, that's Becca.
Yeah, we get
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a blessing that
yeah,
is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You know, that part is perspective because sometimes I hear from a parent who, you know, makes that comment and it's like, I absolutely hate it because every time I see my grandchild, I don't want to see my grandchild because every time I see them, it reminds me of my child and who's gone. And isn't that a perspective issue? I mean, that's so sad.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Absolutely.
We're both very thankful because not only does she look like Ryan, but she is wired so much.
Yes.
Like
oh, my goodness.
We look at each other like, Gosh.
That's exactly what Ryan would have said, or that's exactly what Ryan would have done, you know.
Oh, that's so funny because,
It's
like,
a gift.
Callie, we'll find out that Callie, like, she absolutely loves port wine cheese. It's like, do you have any clue that your mom loved port wine cheese? I mean, just crazy things like that.
And you asked as part of that question, were there any signs or symptoms or anything that might have pointed to at some point Ryan considering this? And for us, I would say it that really wasn't the case because, as Kathy said, he was already married, had been for
Three
I
years.
guess 3 years maybe at that point. And so they lived about 2 hours away in Charleston, South Carolina. And when you're married and and just getting your life kicked off and all that, you don't share everything with your parents. A lot of times, you keep things from your parents. And what we learned in retrospect, and this was a few months after we lost him, was that he had gone to his counselor for just a regularly scheduled appointment. We don't know what was said, but something was said in the course of the conversation that would have triggered that counselor to call EMS and have him taken to the hospital. But on and he was put on suicide watch 24 hours. We don't know any other details.
We didn't find out about it until months after he passed away.
Wow.
But one thing that really did bother me is that this was, I think, sometime late afternoon. I don't remember what day it was of the week. So he was put on 24-hour suicide watch, which meant that the hospital should have kept him for a minimum of 24 hours. Well, what we learned, I called his psychiatrist. This was a couple of months after, and to his credit, he was very kind and compassionate and was willing to talk with me about it. And he said that Ryan had a regularly scheduled appointment with him at his office the following day at about noon, I believe it was. So the hospital discharged Ryan sometime around 11 o'clock, as we understand it. And to Ryan's credit, he actually did show up for the psychiatry appointment. And when I asked the psychiatrist what they talked about, he said, "We just talked about his anxiety." They never discussed the fact that he had been in the hospital. The hospital never contacted the
Oh
psychiatrist.
my.
And I talked with him about 6 months later. And at that point, he still had never been contacted by the hospital. If that had happened, of course, we don't know what the result would have been. Would it have changed anything? But I think it goes to point out that in the medical community, we need to take suicide conversation, suicide watches very seriously, because it was only a few weeks after that Ryan did take his life.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that a little bit, those why questions and the what if questions, because it seems like when, I mean, we all have those when our child dies, but when our child takes their own life, it seems like to me that those questions are even more haunting. They're so much deeper. Did you have any more of those, what if questions and why questions, and how have you gotten past them, or have you?
The answer is yes, we certainly did.
And still do from time to time. It's not as acute as it was, for a while. For me personally, it wasn't so much the questions as it was the anger, not necessarily at Ryan, but I was very angry with God. Really struggled with that in the beginning, for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you for being honest about that because I think so many parents do. I don't even have to go there because everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I guess as parents, when a child takes their own life, I mean, it's hard enough and it's life-shattering enough to lose the child. But when you add the layer of suicide, it leaves you as a parent questioning yourself.
What did we do wrong? What could we have done differently,
You
you
feel like
know?
you failed your own child. And as a dad, I can just speak to the reality of, you know, most men see themselves in the role as a husband and dad as the protector and defender of his family. And when you fail to be able to prevent something like that, even though I wasn't there, and even though I didn't know he was thinking about doing that, I still felt like I had failed him in a lot of ways. You know, the questions of why would he have done this? What was it that he was battling that was so, that got him to the point where he felt like there was no hope? I
Right.
mean,
And we talk about, you know, people talk about, oh, how could they have chosen suicide? But they really didn't choose it because they had a, whether it was a lengthy thing or just a moment in time where they felt like not being here was the only choice. There was no other choice.
Exactly. And you know, we know some of the factors that went into it. As Kathy said earlier, we know that he battled with depression and anxiety. We also know, and we didn't find this out until, I guess it was probably 3 years after we lost him, through a conversation our daughter had with somebody who knew Ryan.
Now we're going to get into some guilt here, right? Because I wanted to talk about that.
Guilt.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there is that.
Okay.
Ryan, we found out when he was a boy, and we don't know what age, but he was molested. And we don't know how long, but we do know who did it. And you know, I'm ashamed to say that it was my own father, Ryan's grandfather, that you would think you could trust. And it wasn't just Ryan. It was two other nephews. And then about a year ago, we found out from our daughter that it was her as well. So I think all of those things kind of came together at that point in time as a perfect storm in his life. And he just did not know what to do. And I think in a moment, as you said,
He felt he had no choice. Yeah.
But we do want to add this too. Ryan is a believer, right? So we know that Ryan is in heaven today, and that
Let's talk about that. Yes.
Ryan is more alive today than he was here with us.
Yes.
And I know that there are some in under the umbrella of Christianity who, you know, who have thought, and when I was growing up, I heard this too, Laura, that if you commit suicide, that
Yes.
automatic sentence to hell.
Right. It's the unforgivable sin because you can't repent from it.
And that is absolutely a bunch of hogwash.
I totally, yes, agree.
Romans 8:38 tells us that, and I won't quote the whole verse, but it tells us that there is absolutely nothing in all of God's creation to separate us from Him. Some people will, I think, probably justify that perspective by saying that, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Well, gee, that was what the law said. That was the law. Jesus took it a step further in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, where he said, addressing murder, if you get so angry with your brother that you call him the lowest name that you can think of, then you are just as guilty as if you had committed the act. So he got to the heart issue. Said the same thing about adultery. If you commit adultery, if you have lust in your heart for a woman, then you have committed adultery. So do we forgive those sins? Of course we do, because Jesus forgave those sins. The scripture is, I think, is very clear that the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is rejecting Jesus as Almighty God and the one who gave his life and was resurrected 3 days later.
Right. And the other thing we don't realize, when Jesus died, that was for the forgiveness of sins. Our sins have already been forgiven.
Past, present.
Yes. Past, present, and future. Any sin that I will commit in the future has already been forgiven. The price was already paid for it. Whether I accept or receive that forgiveness or not, it is there for me. And, you know, what I also tell a lot of parents is that we have no idea that moment, that split second when they crossed over. Why wouldn't? Because we know it's not God's will that any perish. So why wouldn't he meet with our child that moment and say, will you receive me now? Do you receive my love and forgiveness now? And give them that last moment to accept and receive.
I've often said that I know that Jesus was with Ryan in that moment, in that truck. He was with him and did not want him to do what he ended up doing. But I think he was there to welcome him into his presence.
Yeah.
I think he was hurting with him.
Yes.
And then rejoiced on the other side that now you're with me.
Yes.
No more of that pain. You're with me now.
And we know, I mean, people that are listening may say, well, how do you know? Well, I was with Ryan the day that he asked Jesus into his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5 years old, and he initiated the conversation. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed the prayer with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, Kathy and I both know that
Yeah, Ryan, and I think even if a parent doesn't have that, well, I never prayed with my child. I never knew my child prayed that prayer. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere in scripture that says you must pray this certain prayer.
Right.
It's a heart thing. And so, you know, it's like we don't have all the information. We just don't. I mean, your child may have initiated a relationship with the Lord in high school and they didn't want to tell you because they didn't want to hear you. Are you going to church? Are you going to youth group? Are you reading your Bible? We don't know. They may have received the Lord at a very young age when they were just alone in their bedroom at night. And they didn't have the words as a little child to say, I have Jesus in my heart. Use the Christianese terms we're using. So it's like we don't have all the information. And so just because you don't have a specific time that you can point to, or even if your child wasn't living a life that showed that they were, you know, a believer in Christ, doesn't mean that they weren't, because hurting people do a lot of things to try to stop the hurt.
Yes, they do.
And so it's like to just encourage those parents who are listening, who are just so terrified that their child is not in heaven. You don't have to be. You can choose to live in fear and torment of that, or you can choose to walk in faith, believing that God did everything possible from the time your child was in your womb, or even before that, to the second they crossed over, and that your child at some point said yes. We just don't have all the information. So walk in faith and peace.
Yeah, and that's a tactic that the enemy uses very effectively against parents sometimes.
Yes.
Is the not knowing, because you don't know, then what if it didn't, you know, all the what ifs.
Yes. Yep. Talk about not knowing. I'm going to turn a corner here. We all have constant painful reminders of the things that our children are missing out on as the years go by. So I'm wondering, do you kind of have maybe feeling an extra layer of pain during these times, knowing that Ryan is missing out on some of these things because of ending his own life? I mean, like for me, Becca was a heart issue. You know, it wasn't that she did something herself. It was something that was done to her, kind of a thing.
Right.
I'm curious, does that make it harder, or do you not really think so? Or is that a choice? Perspective once again, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Gosh.
So what you're asking is, did the fact that Ryan took his own life,
Does
did
that make it more frustrating for you about what he's missing out on?
Yeah.
It does to a certain extent. For me, it is knowing that he's not here to enjoy watching Olivia grow up.
Right.
I mean,
Yes.
she's 10 years old now, and she's precious. And so it makes me really sad that he's not here to watch her grow into the young lady that she is. But then on the other hand, sometimes I think, that maybe God allows Ryan to see and be aware of what she's like,
Right.
and that makes me happy. That gives me a certain amount of peace.
I'm thinking it's probably a choice again, because we can be very angry at our child for doing that and then allow the enemy to come in with anger and bitterness. Look at what you're missing out on. Look at what what have you done to us? And look at what you've robbed us of. And so I think once again, that can be a choice of either playing on the enemy's playing field or just laying that at the feet of Jesus and allowing him to just heal us of that.
Exactly. Yes.
That's very well put,
Yeah.
Laura. There are so many things that we have choices about. We can allow ourselves to be victims, to think of ourselves as victims, and that can become, if we're not careful, our identity.
Right.
That we're a victim of having lost our child. We're
Okay. Can I just add something real quick?
yeah.
Because I had the thought, even because I can just hear some parents, thinking, no, I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice in that. But in saying I don't have a choice, that's what you're choosing. You're choosing the fact that you don't have a choice
Right.
and allowing that victim mentality
Yeah.
to be your choice.
Right.
As harsh as that sounds, I want to, I mean, we're all hurting. We all know that dark place.
Right. But we do have choices, even in the dark moments. There are always choices, and no, they're not always easy to make.
Right.
If we go by our emotions and feelings alone, then there are a lot of things that we would never do. It would be much easier in those first days and weeks after you lose your child, stay in bed,
Yes.
is to curl up in a corner in a fetal position and not engage at all.
And sometimes that choice is made for us. Our body just will not function. Our minds will not function. I mean, we have been through a trauma. It is beyond us what we can function.
And that's okay if
Yes.
that happens. It's just not a place that we can stay.
Right. We do eventually get to the point where it becomes a choice, and we have to push through that.
And I would be quick to add too, because I know that you know this, Laura, and many of your listeners do, is none of this is easy as a Christian.
Right.
This, the processing of and the navigating a grief journey, it's not easy.
No.
But and having a relationship with Jesus, we have his spirit living in us and empowering us and
Yes.
healing us. And while it's not easy, it does make it easier because we're not trying to do it in our own strength.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have him to talk to about it and to express all of those emotions, our anger, and all the
Because he,
questions.
yeah, because Jesus feels all of that with us.
Yes.
So it's not like he doesn't have a clue what's going on.
Right. We forget. We think about God being out there somewhere, but he's in here. He's
Right.
in here. We can talk to him. He
Yes.
feels what we feel because he's in us,
Yes.
intertwined with us.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is that is so comforting. You know, once you get through, like you were saying, once you get through that initial trauma where you feel like your body just cannot take anymore, and the sadness just is so overwhelming, then Jesus meets you in the middle of that. And slowly but surely, you know, if you let him, will bring you out of it and bring glory to himself is the ultimate goal in all of this and all that we do.
Which feels impossible, doesn't it, when you're in that dark place?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, that's impossible, God, that you would bring something good out of the death of my child. But he's a miracle working God, and I think that's one of the miracles that we just don't I mean, it truly is a miracle.
If you if you had told me, you know, 9 years ago that I would still be here, doing what I'm doing, I would have told you you're crazy because there were so many times when in my mind, all I could think of was, I just want to be with Ryan. Just want to be with him. If he can't be with me, then I want to be with him. So, you know, that's all part of the trauma and the grief. And it's amazing to me that God has brought us to a point where I can look at it and say, you know what? It's because of you that I'm here, and it's because of you that I know I will see my son again. And that gives me great hope
And peace.
and peace, absolutely.
It's amazing how we can actually have peace and pain at the same time. It's very possible.
But
And
it's
I
possible,
it is, and it doesn't seem so to if you're applying logic to it. Only God can do that. And you almost quoted a verse of scripture a minute ago when you were talking about how could God possibly bring something good out of it. And I never really understood Romans 8:28 at the level I do now with boss Ryan, because it tells us in that scripture that God absolutely can bring good out of everything in our lives for those who know and love him and are called by him. It doesn't make any sense that anything good could come from the loss of your child. But we can see now the impact. Just one example. Ryan continues to impact the lives of other people 10 years after he went to heaven because of opportunities like this to share his story, because we get to carry his legacy with us. God gave me the privilege of also having a podcast like you do, and I see that goodness every time I interview someone for my podcast. I mean, you guys were on our podcast back in December. And you see people, you get to know people who have been through the absolute worst that you can imagine. And then you see what God's done and the good that he's brought out of something so horrible. And you see what he's doing for other people, giving them the hope that we were talking about and giving them encouragement that they can know that right now you feel like all you want to do is just maybe not even be here anymore, but you can get better and you can not just survive it, you can also flourish again, and you can have meaning and purpose and joy in your life again.
And I like to say that's not in spite of your child's death, but it's because of your child's life.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
And the whole peace and pain thing running together in our lives, I've come to realize the reason that's possible is because the pain is in our soul. That's like soul fruit. But the peace is in our spirit. That's spiritual fruit. And so our soul can be in deep pain while our spirit is at peace.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would, talking about the peace, you know, scripture refers to it as the peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that we got that phone call, I experienced that peace in a way that I never have before, that I never had before. And at a level that I don't know that I've experienced since, because it was so overwhelming. And that
almost like a peace bubble.
It really was, in the sense that, you know, we were, Kathy and I were away for the weekend with friends, and we had about a 4-hour drive home after we got that phone call. And I can remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to drive home.
Right.
I don't think I can. So I remember we got packed up. Our friends helped us pack up. And I can remember Kathy and me getting in the car, and it was like this peace that just absolutely did not make sense, just kind of overwhelmed me. And to be honest, I felt guilty because I shouldn't be feeling this kind of peace. Well, we just found out that Ryan died. But I needed that in order to get us home. And I mean, it just absolutely defied understanding.
Have you two found yourself dealing with your loss in different ways? If my question, you know, dad, mom,
yeah.
you know, have what can you maybe give an example of that?
Yeah.
I've heard you share about music or, you know, something.
We have, I think, handled it in many different ways. And I think that's just part of the way the father-child relationship
yes.
is, and the way the mother-child relationship is. It's there's a lot of things that are common, but there's a lot of things that are very different. You know, the mother, I mean, I carried Ryan.
Right.
You know,
and
I felt like we worked so hard to have him, because we had our daughter Whitney, and when she was three, we started trying to have another child and had two miscarriages in between.
So you've lost three children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. We have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but when Whitney was 9,
yeah,
I think,
pretty much,
you know, we got pregnant with Ryan, and it was, you know, all babies are a miracle. But when you work so hard to try to have one, and then you finally do after having lost two.
And years of infertility issues.
Yes. Then it is. It is just like such a gift, such a gift. And so, yeah, I think losing Ryan for me, I mean, it truly is losing a part of physically and emotionally and mentally.
Well, and spiritually too, because when we carried that child, we carried their spirit inside our body. There's a spiritual connection, I think, that we have with our children too. And all of a sudden it's like that's severed and we're so lost.
And, you know, I've read a lot about how, you know, when a mother carries her child, that child physically, parts of that child,
DNA. The DNA,
is in her body still, always be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's a different kind of pain and hurt and loss that is so indescribable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yes, we handled it in different ways, but we handled it together. Also, we leaned on each other, you know.
I want you to share with Laura and the listeners one of the very uniquely different things that you did was the letters to Ryan.
Oh, yeah. first year that after we lost Ryan, I have never been a journal person. I mean, people would give me a journal for a gift, and I
Throw it in
wasn't
a drawer
sure.
somewhere, huh?
Yeah. But after Ryan passed away, then I just felt in my heart that what would help me a lot would be to write letters to Ryan. So I did for the first year after he was gone. I wrote letters, would usually write every day, and that was very helpful. That was very healing for me. So yeah,
Yeah.
that way.
I just thought that was just very special to me because Kathy and Ryan just had this amazing relationship. I mean, they were like soulmates in so many ways. I mean, they loved a lot of the same kind of music and I don't know. It was such a sweet relationship. So it was very different for her because it was, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and
Well,
the
it's the same person, but it's a different loss.
absolutely.
Yeah, and when you put all this together, it's like it makes so much sense. Why wouldn't you be angry at God? This special child we worked so hard for and you blessed us with, and we have this special relationship, and now he's gone. Why didn't you stop it, God?
Yeah, for a long time we had no idea how much it really affected our daughter Whitney. And siblings, like we've often said, siblings are the forgotten born. But she has struggled because she and Ryan were so close. She was old enough when he was born that there was no jealousy, there was competition. They're just, she was like a little mama to him, and they had such a sweet relationship. So she has really struggled, and we were not aware of how intense the loss was for her in the beginning. And
Well, we're just in survival mode ourselves.
right. And she is still seeing a counselor and trying to deal with it, and she has healed and is continuing to heal. And
I was going to ask you, did you go through any kind of counseling?
we did.
Yeah, we
We
did.
sure
We
did.
started about 2 weeks after the funeral.
Oh, very early.
Yeah, to a Christian counselor that we already knew from, he was a part of the church that we were where we were at the time, and he was actually Whitney's age. So we started seeing him that early and continued for about 3.5 years.
He, the counselor had also counseled Ryan a few times, so
Oh, okay.
he knew a lot of our family
Right. Okay.
background and all. So, and actually, he's the one who did Ryan's funeral. Yeah. So yeah, we and it was extremely helpful.
Yeah. And one thing that I know you know this, Laura, is when we talk about the differences in the way that we grieve as individuals, and also as men and women, and then the other layer is as moms and dads. We it's I think it's really important that your listeners understand that there are a lot of differences, but there's no right or wrong way to grieve. There are certainly healthy and unhealthy ways to grieve.
Yes, that's very well put.
Because some of the guests that I've spoken with have shared that, especially, I think it especially happens with moms, is that, her heart is just absolutely shattered beyond belief. And sometimes the dad, in order to navigate his grief
To process it, yeah.
and process it, he goes back to work because it's a distraction for him. He doesn't have to dwell on it. And as we all know, men have this strange ability to compartmentalize. And so we can put some things in one basket and some things in another basket. And when we need that, we can pull that basket out. You know what I mean?
And like Dave says, then you find out that when Becca has now shattered into every basket, you
Yeah.
pull out a basket and all of a sudden there's a piece of Becca there, and it's like, oh, that's not supposed to be there. Quick, shut
Right, exactly. So you put
it.
it back up as quick as you can. And I think sometimes that can cause the mom and the wife to look at her husband and say, what is wrong with you? I'm shattered.
Right. And we immerse ourselves as a whole. It's like we
Yeah.
immerse ourselves in everything that has to do with that child for us to process it.
Yeah, exactly. And she sees her husband working and interacting with other people and kind of doing everyday stuff. And she's like, you're not, do you
Aren't
not?
you sad? Don't you care? It's funny because it's like you said, there's no wrong way to grieve until your spouse is doing it wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, good point.
True.
So yeah, for a man, a lot of that immersing, it's distracting from being able to process it. Their minds work differently. They have to process it differently. And so
Yeah.
we have to give each other grace for that, to
Yeah.
be able to process our own way and yet be able to still come together to
Yeah.
grieve together
I
in
think
yes.
it's really important. Kathy and I both, we've talked about it so many times that it's important, we think, for couples to intentionally spend time together in the days and weeks, in the first few months, especially after the death of a child, to be able to grieve together. Because if you're not spending time together, then you're not seeing how your mate is grieving.
Right.
You come home at the end of the day and she may still be in bed, or she may not have accomplished anything that you can
Or
see.
sitting there crying, looking at pictures.
Exactly. I mean, like,
It's like, stop doing that to yourself.
yeah, exactly. So if you can't see that, then it's really hard to understand what your mate's going through, because we automatically, I think, and this is just men and women, I think we're bad about thinking that this is how I'm doing this, so there's something wrong if you're not doing it in a similar way. So I think it's very important to spend time grieving together. If you can take some time off of work in order to do that, and be able to still pay the bills, and if you've got an employer like the one that I was blessed to have, who was, I mean, they were so gracious and so generous with time off. I think it can really help not just speed the healing process, but I think it can help allow us to walk through those really difficult first days and weeks. Because if you don't now, you're at some point it'll catch up with you and you're going to have to. But at the same time, as you said a few minutes ago, we need to give each other space to grieve in our own individual ways too. Both are very important.
Hey everyone, I am breaking in here. The three of us talked about so much, well, for over an hour. So I wanted to go ahead and break up our talk into two parts. We're going to play the rest of my discussion with Greg and Kathy next week, and we do talk more about the suicide piece of things. Whether your child died by their own hand, like Greg and Kathy's son Ryan, or some other way, like our Becca, I pray that our conversation was a blessing in some way to you today, bringing you some encouragement. And I hope you join us for the rest of this conversation next week, because I feel like it gets even better and deeper and richer. April 23rd is World Book Day. So, starting today, when this episode comes out, through Friday, so April 22nd through the 26th, you can make a purchase of any of my books any quantity, no limit, on our website for 20% off. So when you check out, use the code BOOKDAY, one word, B-O-O-K-D-A-Y, BOOKDAY, to get that 20% discount. Now remember, this ends at midnight on Friday the 26th, so don't miss out. Take a look at the books and get your order in. Go to gpshope.org/books. That's where you're going to find them all. Like I said, these are the books that you order directly from us on our website. I will put a link to that, the gpshope.org/books, in the show notes. And remember to use the code BOOKDAY when you place your order to get that 20% off. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Stephen Francis Reeve was both born and passed on April 25th and left us at the age of 25. Michael Patnode was born on April 27th and left us at age 21. We celebrate the day these two came into the world and into the lives of their families. It will always be a day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced and shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. There's just a form for you to fill out. Submit that, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Now, right now, as I am recording this, it is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And of all days, all holidays, this is by far the one we should still be celebrating, because it is because of what Jesus did for us that we will be with our children again. Because Jesus is alive, our children are alive as well and waiting for us. We may feel like we have died, but Jesus is still very much alive in us. Romans 8:18 tells us that the sufferings we are going through now here on earth cannot even be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us in the future. Now, I feel like that has got to be some incredibly fantastic glory, you know, because our suffering, we can't even put words to how deep our suffering is from the loss, earthly loss of our child. And so to say that there's a glory that is on the opposite side of the spectrum that is so incredible, it can't even be compared to the suffering that we're going through, that's just beyond what my mind can comprehend. To think that our children are experiencing and living in that glory right now, wow, just incredible, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus, for what you went through to give us this wonderful gift. Thank you, Father, for making it possible by sacrificing your Son for us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside us so that we can have peace within our pain and a living hope for our glorious future. And as we wait for that glory, as always, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.